Well, now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the vision hole. We may not.
All right, this is Vinny from Fish and Franks, also the president of the PGI Fishing Club. We're doing our Thursday fishing program, and today my guest is Cale Wills, actually Captain Cale Wills. And we're going to be talking today about snook specifically, and primarily we're talking about it because it is the fish of the month for the Fishing Club. And I know Cale's been on top of some snook in the last week, really been slamming them, so I wanted to get some of his insight on how we can go take on those fish. And then we'll just have kind of a general discussion about what's going on in the harbor. So let me turn it over to Cale and just chat a little bit about it. I do have one question for you, Cale.
All right.
And it was, when's the last time you've taken barb fishing?
It's been a while. It has been a long time since I have taken my wife fishing.
I got that impression when she walked by because she primed me with that question.
Well, it's no fault of my own. This is one of the busiest seasons so far.
Yeah.
You know, usually as a charter captain, you can usually count on April being a little bit on the dead side. But we got that last cold front that went through up north and dropped snow here in the middle of April. So a lot of people have stayed down. So it's been a rather busy month.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there trying to catch snook, at least in the store. It seems like a lot of folks coming in looking for lures, looking for the right bait.
Well, this is a good time for snook. We're coming up on their breeding season, which is usually about May.
Yeah.
That's why we close them May 1st. And you're still getting them staged up and ready to breed.
Yeah.
Your snook is going to look for sandy passes with high current in order to breed. And most people will run out to the border islands and fish our major passes. Boca Grande Pass, Stump Pass, Gasparilla, etc. But they do a lot of staging up in the interior sandy passes. And you pass a whole lot of them on your way out. Alligator Creek, Ponce Park, Pirate Harbor, Burnt Store. Any of your creeks on the west side. All sandy passes with high current. So they will naturally stage up there.
Yeah.
Some of them will actually stay and breed there. So now is a great time to take advantage of that.
You know, in the last show we did, I think it was last week, you know, I had made a comment about we should start to see the snook spawning and actually moving out to the beaches around Boca. I mean, what's your feel there? Is that coming soon, or am I way ahead of ahead of my skis?
No, from what I'm seeing here in the harbor, it won't be long.
Yeah.
Then they're going to start heading that way. You're starting to see a lot of big snook. We were watching 40 and 50-inch snook cruising the flats, and that's always a good sign that they're headed towards the passes. Those big females are starting to come out of hiding and start making their way down.
Yeah. So if you were taking a customer out tomorrow, you know, better yet, you and Barb were heading out and you wanted to target snook. How would you prepare? What are the kinds of things that you would rig up with? And, how would you approach it and get after them?
I'm going to approach it from several different directions. You're going to catch snook from 14 to 40 inches. So I'm going to bring at least a 7.5 foot rod, 4000 series reel. And I'm also going to bring my tarpon equipment. Number one, there's still tarpon out there. They're starting to come in. Two, lots of cobia out there. And three, you need something big for those big girls if you're going to target those big female snook.
Yeah.
We got one day last week, we got the big ones to eat. And we destroyed three reels in the process. Two 4,000 pens that my client loves to bring with him, and one of my smoke 25s Just absolutely destroyed them. So you've got to have some heavy tackle. You do need to keep in mind with the heavy tackle that you still need something with good casting distance. I'm going to target, if you cut the east wall from Alligator Creek to Pirate Harbor in thirds, I'm going to fish that center third because it doesn't get a whole lot of attention. People come in from Alligator Creek and start fishing. People come in from Pirate Harbor and start fishing. And that middle section kind of gets left alone.
Yeah.
And you're talking from Redfish Key at the south end all the way up to about Silcox.
Okay.
In that area. That water's very clear in there. And if you see those snook see you. If they see you, they're not going to eat.
Kale, are you getting on these snook deep into the mangroves, under the mangroves, or are you actually sitting out in the flats getting on them?
A little bit of both. I'm not going very far into the Keys. I'm going maybe one, maybe two islands back at the most.
Yeah.
We're seeing the majority of these things by the border islands on the east side, your outside border islands.
Yeah.
Depending on which way the tide's moving, depending on which way the wind's blowing, that will determine where they're at.
Are you seeing any difference in tide as far as, you know, performance? Is it an incoming that you prefer, outgoing, or does it matter?
We had our best day yesterday, and it was a completely horrible tide. It was an incoming tide. It was only going up, I think, a foot and a half throughout the entire day. And we caught over 50 snook yesterday. So it hasn't been too very much tide-oriented. It's about getting in there quiet, staying quiet, and not spooking those fish.
Yeah.
That is going to be your biggest goal.
When you start moving up on the grounds that you're going to target, you know, are you off the motor? Are you on the trolling motor? Are you using a pole?
I'm going to get off the trolling motor probably 300, 400 yards before where I think they're going to be. And the key word is where I think they're going to be.
Right.
Because if you think they're there, they're probably not. They're going to be in that vicinity. There's something keeping them there. Where I've been fishing, there's a deep cut. It holds a lot of finger mullet. It holds a lot of small snapper. It holds a lot of sand bream.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a good food source. And you've got some deep water for those fish to escape into. But that's a good 100-yard long cut. And you don't know what end they're going to be at.
Yep.
Because they're going to travel back and forth. So I want to get off my main engine way ahead of time. I'm going to hopefully let the wind blow me in and kind of work my way through with a stick at pole. If I don't have the wind to my advantage, I'm going to run that trolling motor just as slow as I possibly can. And it's tough because I've got to explain to clients, listen, sit down, be quiet. We can't slam anything on the deck. We can't talk loud. We can't hoot and holler. We can't slam the live well lid. We can't slam the cooler lid. We have got to be quiet. So you've got to sneak in on these fish.
Same approach when you're fishing redfish then.
Yeah. If you happen to find them balled up in an area, it probably won't matter.
Yeah.
We caught that day that we did so well, a lot of them were juvenile snook and just almost slot sized. Those are kind of your horny teenagers. They want to breed. They don't quite know what to do with it yet. So they get together and gather around and hope something miraculous happens. Kind of like we did as teenagers. We gathered at the mall and we hoped for the best. Guys your age went to the drive-in theater.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And hope for the best. So that's kind of the fish that you're taking advantage of there. And those ones, it really doesn't matter. We pulled in on the main engine, shut down. I threw a bunch of chummers out, and they were feeding 3 feet from the boat.
Yeah.
So It's the big, but the big girls, they didn't get big by being stupid.
Yeah,
you've got to sneak up on those.
Now, Cale, you and I both know, you know, the quality of shrimp lately has not been that stellar. And you know, they've been generally small, the kind of shrimp that are coming in, and understandably, I know you've been throwing a net quite a bit.
Yeah.
What is the preferred bait that you like to use when you're going after the
shrimp? My preferred bait's always going to be greenbacks.
Okay.
The problem is you don't have a whole lot of greenbacks here in the Upper Harbor. Plenty of them to be found around Jug Creek, Patricio, Devilfish Key, Kea Palau, the Tailing Flats, Placida. Plenty of them down there. They really haven't made their way up here yet. So I'm going to go with thread fins.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hate thread fins. Now, I love them. I can keep thread fins alive in my live well all day long. Doesn't matter how many I pack in there, they stay alive. So I can use thread fins. Now, what I hate about thread fins is they don't cast well. They're not as dense and not as heavy as a greenback.
They catch the wind.
They catch the wind.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, weighted bobbers become necessary to get them out there. But I've been wanting white bait. Those snook want an oily diet right now. That's what's going to make their eggs float. They need that to breed. So they want to feed on fish. They're not going to get the oil that they need using shrimp.
Yep.
Or eating shrimp and eating crabs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The white bait, let's say, when you're going after, you know, when you're throwing the net, are you chumming the water at all? Or are you just going up to a piling, a marker? And
yeah, I've been... Lately, I've been throwing at the 41 bridge. Before that, we were throwing at marker 2. The bait has kind of gotten wise to us at marker 2. It knows as soon as that sun comes up, there's going to be 50 people throwing a cast net on it.
Yeah.
So it's gotten tough. So I've been getting it at the 41 bridge.
That's good.
Okay. The problem with throwing at the 41 bridge, a lot of jellyfish. And you never know what you're going to get in your net. You know, it's a good place to accidentally throw the cast net on a cobia, a 200-pound tarpon. I got 6 cow nose rays in one throw the other day. So there's always that danger of ruining a net with that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other pointers for people trying to get out there and get that fish of the month?
Yeah, I think your best bet is taking your time, being patient, work the wind. If the wind's blowing out of the east, it's probably going to be a good day on the west side. If the wind's blowing out of the west towards the east side, I want to be on the east side. I'm going to work the wind-blown areas. I want that wind to my back.
Okay.
That helps push that current around that shoreline. That is where those snook are going to gravitate to. Plus, if you're stuck with green or thread fins, much easier to cast them when you've got a 10 to 15 mile an hour wind to your back.
And you know, a lot of times people are going to look at the wind and say, well, it's out of the west, it's going into the east wall. I want to get away from that because it's choppy and rough.
But sometimes you got to bite that bullet.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be productive, a lot of times you're going to bite that bullet. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
And if you're not going to do it, well, then you're the one that's not catching as many as everybody else.
Yeah. All right. Well, good pointers. You know, if we can just kind of talk briefly about just what's going on in the harbor, you know, put snook aside for a while. You know, my experience over the last couple times I've been out, you know, tons of Spanish mackerel moving all about. Throw something, as I think I've heard you say, cheap and shiny,
yep.
Or cheap and silver.
Cheap and shiny.
You'll probably catch a Spanish mackerel just trolling it behind your boat.
Yeah, definitely. What I get asked a lot is by my clients is, what's your favorite month to fish? You know, if I had to choose just one month out of the year to fish Charlotte Harbor, it's going to be October. But April's going to be a close second.
Yeah.
April and October are kind of our transition months. In April, the white bait's starting to show up. We still have plenty enough wintertime fish, flounder, pompano, trout, sheephead out there to target. But our summertime fish are coming in. The tarpon are starting to warm up. The cobia are in. The sharks are coming. So you've kind of got your perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
And same with October. It's kind of a transition month. The reason October gets the nod is because of the bull redfish. But this time of year is the perfect time.
Yeah.
We're starting to lose a lot of our snowbirds, so there's not as much pressure on the fish. The winds are finally starting to become a little bit workable. You know, I went out, I didn't know if I could throw the cast net the other day. I've gotten so used to throwing it in a 15-mile-an-hour headwind, I didn't know if I could do it without
all
a wind.
All you have to do is just kind of pick it up, throw it up in the air, let it fall back over
yeah,
your head,
exactly.
Knock you off the boat, and then you'll feel nice and comfortable.
It's so nice not to spend half an hour out there swearing at the wind at the top of your lungs covered in a cast net.
Yeah. We have a surprise guest.
So, I was just, I heard you saying the bait was coming up. Yeah, it's kind of nice this time of year. The difference you're talking about October versus this time, I like all the snook at this time of year. They're all getting ready. The big snook are yep. staging up. I mean, you were out the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kale, you caught 50 snook.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should be able to catch
yeah,
snook.
Yeah, if I can do I it, mean,
there's,
can.
There's just like, oh, my God, there is a lot of snook moving right now.
Yeah.
So, if you know, when you're looking at it, in the springtime, it's all about the big snook. In the fall, it's all about the
big
redfish. So it's a nice trade-off, but this is that kind of perfect time of year.
Yep.
You know, so I'm agreeing with you. Unfortunately, I had to agree with Kale. My life could be over, as I know.
I have wrote that down.
I bet that hurt.
It really did. It really,
he's going to have a twitch for the rest of the day.
I'm sitting there thinking that, yeah, you see my eye? Look at that. It's hard to concentrate.
Frank is shaking.
But anyway, I'm going to continue getting my coffee. I'm still working on projects. And Captain Kale and Vinny, you guys have fun. You can turn my mic off before I don't shut up.
It was off, Frank.
Yeah, it was off the whole time.
All right, so what else is going on in the harbor, Kale?
Tarpon are really starting to ramp up.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that they've probably been here and in the harbor for the last few weeks. We just haven't been able to see them through the rough water. Been seeing a lot rolling down around the deeper holes, even up in the upper harbor around yeah. the 41 bridge. I'm getting a lot of different bait in my net at the 41 bridge. Thread fins, some greenbacks, Gulf menhaden, big Gulf menhaden, small whiting. If there's that much food around that 41 bridge, chances are there's something there eating it. So I think it's a good time to start fishing the 41 bridge at night for tarpon, snook, cobia. A lot of reports of cobia around Hog Island, the deeper holes, Alligator Creek Reef. So they're starting to wake up too. The sharks are starting to slowly come in. They're not as heavy as I would have like them to be, but they're as heavy as they should be given the cold fronts that
yeah,
we've been going through.
I was talking to Robert this morning and he's telling me there's some big bulls
yes.
out at the pass right now.
Yes. My guess is there's probably a ton of tarpon stacked up waiting
yep.
to come in.
Yeah. Probably why the bulls are there.
Yeah, we'll start seeing the hammerheads here shortly. We've been seeing some black nose, some small black tips, some sharp nose, so they're here too. As much as I hate to see them in my cast net, the leather jackets are here, and they're usually a good sign that the sharks are coming. We see those white butterflies out on the harbor, and we get excited because we know the tarpon are right behind them.
Yeah.
I get excited when I start seeing leather jackets in my cast net.
Yeah.
Because I know my shark are coming.
And you do a lot of that.
I do. I do a lot. I don't like fishing Boca Grand Pass anymore. So May, June, and July is shark season for me, not tarpon season. I want to catch them in the harbor on my own, not surrounded by 30,000 people, half of them telling me how I fish isn't right. So I stick up here in the harbor where I can fish them how I want to fish them.
And there's big shark in the harbor.
Yeah, lots and lots of big shark will be in the harbor here shortly.
Yeah.
And they're easy to catch.
Yeah. A lot of the members in our club, you know, they don't have the big offshore boats. They've got, you know, the bay boats.
Sure.
But a lot of them, you know, when the weather's right and the seas are right, are going to go out some of the near shore reefs. Have you gotten any reports or have you had any success out there?
I haven't heard of anything good except for cobia around the near shore reefs. But what has been going on in that near shore water is a lot of kingfish. We're at the perfect water temperature for kingfish. There are scads and scads of bait out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get out there and start trolling for some kingfish. Big spoons, big lures, plenty of them out there. Plenty of them
out
there.
Yeah, it's my, and I haven't tried yet. For some reason, my 2 days a week here at Frank's always cuts in on the good day to be fishing, which was yesterday.
That's the way it always works.
Yeah. But I'm told anywhere from, you know, 1 to 15 miles.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of kingfish.
Yeah. King mackerel moving. Up to 8 miles, you know, short 8 miles seems to be the big one.
Yeah.
You know, look for the birds, look for the bait.
Okay.
You know, look for those frigate birds.
You know, just a little report from the grouper front, red grouper front. A couple of the guys, Jim Crawley and Pete McGregor, and I think one other fella, went offshore, went about 35 miles out yesterday, and they absolutely slammed the red grouper. I mean, we're talking 33-inch grouper that they were pulling in.
That's what I've been hearing, too, 30 to 40 miles.
Yeah.
Seems to be your best water for big reds.
Yeah.
And 20 pounds plus is what I've been seeing being pulled out of reefs up there.
Yep. Okay. Well, anything else? Any advice for us old PGI Fishing Club guys?
Even though we touched on the shrimp being small and not the perfect bait, because we're in this transition period, take shrimp with you. It's always a good idea to take shrimp with you this time of year. It has saved my butt more than once. You get out there, and those fish just don't want the white bait. They want shrimp. Or you go to marker two and throw and throw and throw, and you get nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be the guy standing at the dock canceling my trip because I didn't get bait. So I'm always going to grab some shrimp as a backup before I go out. And I really think all our recreational fishermen should, too. Grab some shrimp, take it with you. Just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of learned that the hard way, too. You know, you think you're going to go out and catch and get some bait.
Yeah.
Casting for them or throwing a net, and you're not getting them.
Yeah. It'll be another month before I just quit taking shrimp.
Yeah.
Because I won't need it. But now you never know.
Okay. Well, look, I'm going to go ahead and close this off. Again, we've got Captain Kale with us. And I appreciate your time, Kale. I know you're busy.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is, you know, another one of Fish and Frank's radio shows. And I want to thank everybody for listening.
What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.